I'm trying to make a paper airplane, throw it out to you guys.
Oh, really?
So this morning I want to start a new sermon series for a few weeks, and I'm going to call it Rooted, taken from the scripture we're going to read today. And the hope is that we would just become more rooted in Christ. And today I want to talk about being rooted in the awe of God. As my hope as a pastor and your leadership's hope in this church and prayer every day is that our church, this church, would make a lasting difference in our lives and in our communities. This church is well known for its outreach into the community, trying to provide anything we have available to anyone in the community to make their lives better, to make a difference that's lasting in our community and in our own lives. When it comes to our life, when we talk about creating sermons and creating a church service of worship for people, we want to make a lasting invite and lasting effect on everyone and to know that, like, you matter. Many people have been told throughout their lives that they don't matter, that they're worthless, that they're never going to amount to anything, but you matter to us and you matter to the Lord and you have a purpose, that your life is going somewhere, that it's a journey. And it's not just about reaching the end, but it's about experiencing everything God has for us in the journey. And we also want you to help find God's journey and direction for everyone's life as our goal for you as a church. And as for families, our goal for families as a church is to help families to raise the next generation of Christ followers, or help families to continue to minister to their children and to their surrounding loved ones of how to continue that journey of Christ, how to stay strong in trials and tribulations and storms that come, to stay strong, to stay focused, to stay rooted in Christ. When it comes to our community, we are passionate about serving our community, that we want to bring hope and strength to our community. And when we do that, when we see that, like last week when we had no chairs left in our soup kitchen feeding people, that we give that glory back to God, that it is for His glory. And it feels good for us. But it feels good for us because we give glory back to God, because we know that we are in the right place at the right time doing God's work and bringing hope to His communities. But we believe in order to make a lasting difference in our lives and in people's lives, in our community's lives, we have to allow our roots to grow, to become rooted in Christ, to allow them to grow strong, that they can weather a storm, that no matter what happens in this journey of life, that we remain strong and rooted in Him. I want to read to you Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to read the beginning a little bit later. We're going to skip down to verse 6. It says this: "So then, just as you received Christ as your Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about what it looks like to be overflowing with thankfulness. That's definitely more difficult than it sounds. If you're like me, it's not always easy to be thankful in all things. So we're going to talk about that in a week or so. But today I want to talk about what it means to be rooted and built up in Him. I believe being rooted is a work in progress. If you plant a small seed and it sprouts a root and slowly grows stronger, it takes years for a tree to be deeply rooted. And we can talk about that in the coming series, but trees, they grow the strongest roots when they have opposition, when they have wind against them. Their roots grow strong when it's dry at times, and they need to go deeper for water. They really, opposition is what creates a really strong root system, just like we face every day in our life. And to become rooted in Christ, we will face trials. The scripture says that it is those trials that produce perseverance and strength, that perfects and grows our faith. And we'll talk about that, how we want our roots to grow. It is a journey, but rooted and built up in Him is can be through our life. We can become more rooted and built up through, obviously, like reading the Bible, through prayer, rooted in the Holy Spirit, through sermons and music and fulfilling, you know, surrounding ourselves with like-minded Christians. It is a church family. It is going through those trials in our life and remaining strong that allows us to grow deeper roots. One of the ways that you can tell if it's working, and one of the powerful ways I want to talk about for a minute today, to know that I am becoming more rooted in Christ, is when in your life Christ produces what I'm going to call the awe of God. That in every Christian's lives, as in our journeys of life, there are times where we follow God because we know in our heads it's the right thing to do. We follow God because sometimes we know in our hearts that He is God. Why do I get up? Why do I follow God? Why do I try to do the right thing, the moral thing, when nobody else around me is? Not because I think somebody's going to catch me, but because in my heart, I know that He is God. When we're children, when we're young, a lot of times we have faith in God because our parents, our grandparents, our Sunday school teachers instilled this truth that we started to believe that God's real and there's right and wrong. And we follow Him because we want to do right, not necessarily wrong, but eventually that faith kind of grows in our life where sometimes it doesn't grow to this beyond this stage, but we hope that our faith will grow beyond I'm doing it because it's right and wrong to I'm doing it because in my heart I know God's really God, that He's really watching, that He really has my best interest in mind. I'm following Him because I know He's real, because I've felt His presence. Because I've read the scriptures and believe it. And it starts to produce an awe of God. When God becomes not this little part in your brain where you've created this box and filled it full of all of the faith things that we believe and it's good and we believe it and we're going to follow it, to a part in your brain where you just know that it goes beyond faith. The awe of God is something that's so powerful. When you experience it, your faith grows astronomically. But to produce real, powerful faith in our lives, then the awe of God becomes present in our life. And the awe of God empowers you. It empowers you to follow the path that you believe is right. It empowers you to talk to coworkers. It empowers you to go on a missions trip, to teach Sunday school. It empowers you to invite friends and family to church, to pray for someone. The awe of God also helps you to realize that everything you do for Him isn't for the church, but it's for glory for Him. So many times we feel like if we do something good, we want people to know about it. I want someone to know that I did something good. But the Bible tells us that when you do something for the Lord, the best thing that ever could happen is nobody knows it was you. Because you do things. We live our lives for the awe of God. We live our lives to give glory to Him, not to ourselves. And when you meet a man or a woman who is strong in faith and does things that they, not for the recognition of, hey, it's me, I'm doing it, but does things for the glory of God, we know some people like that, and we respect them so much. I was thinking of on the ride up here, I was listening to some talk show, and they're talking about Mother Teresa. And I was thinking about someone who did so much for the world and never was asking for accolades or for talk shows or for any like recognition for it. She did it because she just believed it was the right thing to do, and I believe she had the awe of God. That's why she wanted to give the glory back to God by serving His people. And when you see people like that, real powerful faith, they have what we're calling the awe of God. There's an author I read years ago, and his name was Paul Tripp. He's talking about worship, and he said, every worship service is really a glory war. And I remember reading that thinking, what? And then as I read through the book more and more, it makes sense that when you gathered for a worship service, will God get your glory? Or will something else get it? Because in order to have the awe of God in our lives, we have to fight that what Paul Tripp calls a glory war and win. And it makes sense. Like I say almost every Sunday when we pray, we're going to set aside this hour and give You the glory, to focus on You. But I can guarantee myself and probably everybody in here, we are not able to focus on God for a solid hour. Like if you're like me and you know, there's people in this room thinking right now, gosh, worship went a little long. Are we going to get out on time? There's people thinking in this room like, I wonder what I should have for lunch. Should I go to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts? Like, the Red Sox or Yankees going to win? Our brains, the way they work, it's hard to focus to give all the glory to God. Or you're sitting here and very rarely do we sit in silence very often, and you kind of, your brains can wander. You know, if you're, you may be thinking about your marriage. Wives often are thinking, I wonder if I can ever like have the marriage I want, or husbands thinking the same thing, or wondering like, is my retirement going to be able to get me into my later years, or am I ever going to be able to retire? Or young people, am I ever going to find the right person? I've got teenagers in my house now, and it's always about, you know, who's the right person? Or many times we're thinking about a purchase we want to make, or a sporting event, a vacation that we want to take. None of those things are bad, but if I'm going to set aside and look at what Paul Tripp said about worship services, about a glory war, I can understand that sometimes things except for God get the glory. Sometimes my brain is, I want to focus on the Lord and I want to give him the glory and his, you know, I know in my heart and my head that he's God and I'm just a little guy and he is God of the universe. But so often and so easy it is to be distracted from giving him glory. And I believe that's because the enemy knows that if you really, really are able to focus on God and give him all the glory and have him be present in your mind, then you will have the awe of God in your life, and that will change your faith forever. When you go from, I think God's real because I was told it and I read it and I believe it, to, wow, I know. I really know in my heart. I've seen him work in my life. I've seen his protection. I've seen him deliver me. I've seen him say no, and then years later realize that it was the right answer. That when you really see God work, then our faith can grow, and we start to create what I'm calling an awe of God. The devil knows that if he can flood you with distraction of anger or grief or guilt or hopelessness or despair, then you'll give your glory to something else or someone else. But it is only through Christ that we can find true meaning and purpose and happiness. I believe we are fighting every day for a glory war in our hearts. One compliment I used to get many times when I was pastoring in Hollowell was probably the best compliment I ever was able to receive, and it was something that was said a lot, was that I was very real with people, that I connected well with people. And people used to ask me, like, hey, why are you so real? Like, I would talk about my own issues and things I did wrong, too, and not put myself up on a pedestal. And I feel like the answer to that question I would tell people was, I can really feel and relate with people, sympathize with people, because I feel like I have felt God's grace so much, because I'm so imperfect, that I've really experienced God's grace in my life over and over and over again. And when you really experience God's forgiveness and grace, you want to share it with others. It tears down the walls of being judgmental and thinking you're better than someone else when you really feel God's grace. When you don't trick yourself or pretend that you're perfect or that you've never done anything wrong, and you really come face to face with God and his majesty and say, Lord, forgive me, and you feel his forgiveness, you believe it, it creates a powerful, powerful faith. It creates, you get to see God's true grace in your life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this. It said, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possessions. As a result, we show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Go back to Colossians. I want to read to you the first part of Colossians chapter 2. It says, I want you to know how much I agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to completely understand the confidence and understand God's mysterious plan, which is in Christ himself. In him lie all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you that this, that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice with you living as you should, and that your faith in Christ is strong. Then he goes on to say, as we've read, verse 6 to 7. So this, just as you receive Christ as your Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul's speaking, and he's talking to a church in Laodicea. It's a small church and a small community who he planted and pastored with them, and now he's been called away, and he writes to them this letter and says, you know, I so long to be with you. He says in this scripture, he says, I agonize for you. Sounds like someone who's praying intensely, worried about his church, worried about the direction they're going, you know, that they would find God, they'd be protected, praying as we do for our children, our families. He says, I want to encourage you to be knit together by strong ties of love, and that you'd have complete confidence that you will understand God's mysterious plan, which is in Christ. And then he says in verse 3, in him lie all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When Solomon was asked, what is it you want? Give you anything you want, riches, power. What do you want? And Solomon asked for knowledge, wisdom and knowledge. Because he knew that with wisdom and knowledge, that they were all that really matters. That if you have wisdom and knowledge, and you can create wealth, and you can create esteem, and you can create people following you and understanding you, because that is so powerful. And Paul says, in him, in Christ alone, lie the secrets of all treasure, the hidden treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Being rooted in Christ will produce awe of God in your life. Don't make excuses for yourself. Make Christ a priority to go deep. There are so many obstacles that can take root to helping our awe of God grow. We talked in the last few weeks, so what do you do when God says no? Or what do you do when God doesn't work the way you wanted to? When you get burned out or tired? What do you do when you go through trials and storms that rage on? Don't give up. Keep searching. Because you will find God even in the storms. In fact, I think you will find God more powerfully in a storm than when life is easy. And so as we start with this series of Rooted, we talk about being rooted. My challenge for you, for myself, for us, is to search for God, to search for the awe of God, to when you're having a glory war in your head and you're trying to focus your strength on Christ and really serve him and be a blessing to him and give him the glory, but then we get distracted, as we all do, to keep going back, to keep as a ship, and I've kind of given this illustration before, but as a ship, it takes a very small turn over time, can be thousands of miles. And when you drive a ship or even an airplane, as I've done both, that you make very, very small adjustments to get to the heading that you want to go to. And as the wind moves you or the waves moves you and you go off course, you take small adjustments back. I think that is our faith walk. Sometimes we take left turns, we take big adjustments. But when you look at the end game, when you look at the journey of life, we don't have to get back to point A immediately. But all it would take is even if you take a huge turn in your faith life, a very small adjustment, and you take another path to get right where God wanted you to be. So in your life, in our lives, when we get distracted, when we lose hope, when we feel like there's no awe of God in our lives, make some of those small adjustments with our thoughts, with our direction, so that we can get right back on track of where God wants us to be, so that we can continue to deepen our roots in him, become rooted in him, rooted and built up in him. And come next week so we continue to look at what it looks like to be rooted and built up in him. Amen? Amen. Please stand with me.